Alison is the wife of Bath. That is, she comes from Bath, a city in the west of England. She is one of only three women on the pilgrimage. Unlike the other two, she is not a nun, but an assertive, widely travelled, much married woman with a skilled trade at which she excels, cloth-making. Everything about her is large, to the point of exaggeration. We remember the wife of Bath, not so much for her tale, as for Chaucer's account of her in the general prologue, and, above all, for her own prologue, which argues that a marriage in which the woman has the mastery is the best. The prologue is about three times as long as the tale, to which it is supposed to be a short introduction. If that is appropriate for anyone, it is appropriate for Alison of Bath, about whom many things are large. Her bulk, her clothes, her mouth, the number of her marriages, the extent of her travels. Her zest for sex, her love of domination, her opinionatedness, her torrential delivery. The result is a portrait of someone for whom it is difficult to find a parallel in later English literature, except perhaps Shakespeare's Falstaff, or some of the characters of Dickens, or Joyce's Molly Bloom. She is wonderful company, provided one is not married to her, and can contemplate from a distance the fate of the sixth husband whom she is seeking as voraciously as she did his predecessors. "Welcome the sixth, when that ever he shall," she says. Shall what? Have the temerity to get too close to this medieval Venus flytrap and be devoured? One reason we remember the wife so vividly is the intense personal quality that emanates from the character. Take her way of referring to herself or to women in general. Whether she's holding forth in her prologue or telling her tale, her pronouns slip with an engaging ease from they to we to I, or I to we to women. Her talk is intensely hers, incapable of being confused with that of anyone else. As she is telling how she always made provision for another husband if her current victim died, she loses the thread of her discourse for a second, but only for a second. "But now, sir, let me see, what shall I say in... Aha! I have my tale again." As she is telling her tale, she refers to the classical story of Midas, and immediately wants to tell it. "Will you hear the tale?" she asks. "Do you think you have any choice?" Her prologue is, above all, about her, her experiences of love in and out of marriage, and her right to hold forth on that subject in spite of the authority of clerics who know nothing about the matter. A much-married woman herself, she has much more authority on love and marriage than any celibate cleric who knows only books, and she knows how to deal with books that do not please her too. Her outpouring is a confession of sorts, but without a trace of penitence, for as she recalls with relish, "I have had my world as in my time. The only thing she regrets is that age hath bereft me of my beauty." Take it not a grief of what I say, for my intent is not but for to play, she says to the pilgrims. But the force of her polemic and her personality has attracted far more attention from readers and hearers, early and late, than most other characters on that famous pilgrimage. When you have heard her dramatic monologue, you will realize why. Here, then, is the wife of Bath's celebrated prologue, followed by her tale, read by Barbara Rosenblatt.